dress to Darren. We're going to worship the Lord. Amen. We've got Ethan Hudson joining us today. Longtime friends with our family. And we've been able to play together on Saturday nights. His church meets on Saturday nights, so I invited him to come join us today and worship. So why don't we all stand and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we just worship you this day. Lord God, it is our desire to truly enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter your courts with praise, Lord God. This is the day that you have made. Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are still traveling or that are on holiday. Lord, we pray that you would be with them, that you would bless them, protect them, bring them here safely to return. Lord Jesus, I just pray that for the other churches that are meeting throughout this country right now, across the world, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Today is the day. Thank you, Lord. Casting my cares aside, I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have for me to do is good, is good. Today's the day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today's the day. Oh, today's the day. I'm putting my fears aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm giving my heart, my dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have in store for me is good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day. Rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't worry about tomorrow. Trust me in what you say. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day.
I will stand upon the truth. And I will stand upon the truth. This heart adore you.
have in store for us today, for the message that you've given Aaron. Lord God, I pray blessing upon him now. I pray that you give him clarity, and that you would just flow through him right now. That your words would come out of him right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this moment in time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Start saving your money if you're interested in going. We're going on the footsteps of the Apostle Paul tour. We're going to go to places like Ephesus and Corinth and Colossae and all those places. Greece, Isle of Malta, Mars Hill, where Paul preached through the book of Acts. And if you guys are at all interested, a few of you said you are and you're saving up money, that's fantastic. We just want to let you know we'll be doing this sometime next year. We're just telling you it now so that you can start preparing for it. And so that's a quick mention of that. We have so much bread. You guys probably noticed. It's unbelievable. So there's a mountain of cookies back there. There was a mountain of cookies, yes. I think Stephen is helping with that mountain back there. But anyway, there's also bread loaves over in the corner. We've got about, I don't know how many bagels, at least 100 or 150 bagels and other 100 loaves of bread. Please take it free in Jesus' name. If you need a little bag, see the lovely Linda. You might have some extra Walmart bags. You can take some of those lovely Linda.
Hey, Darren.
Yes?
What is the cost of the trip?
The cost of the trip is not, say, between, it's about $4,000 to $5,000. So, but it's going to be about roughly 10 days to 14 days. And it's the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. We've been to Israel like 3 times now, and so I just want to, when you see it and touch it with your own eyes and with your own hands, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And so I haven't gone over there through his trips in the book of Acts, and so we want to do that. And so, yeah, good question. But Nate said he would pay for both of these. So that's really fantastic.
You are the man, Nate.
What a prize. And by the way, it's So-So's birthday today. So make sure you give her a big hug. Okay, also, this Thursday, we're doing showing The Case for Christ here before it comes out on Netflix or whatever. But we're showing here. We bought the license. So this Thursday, the 20th, and we're going to have hot dogs here. Ernie is going to be the grill master, yes, for the hot dogs. And then we're going to have popcorn. Tom and Gloria making popcorn and all that kind of stuff, drinks. And so if you want to invite a friend or somebody who doesn't really know the Lord or whatever, that's a great way to introduce them, just bring them in and see this movie. So that will be, that's 20, right? That's this Thursday?
What time? Okay. Yes, that would be this Thursday.
What time? Well, that would be our normal barbecue and Bible study night time, which would be from 6 to 8. So, okay, so from 6 to 8.
Terry, yeah. Is it good for kids? I mean, what's the ages on the movie? Do we know?
Yes.
Has anybody seen it?
Yes. You know what? A lot of people have seen it, but all the people I think saw it, raise your hands if you've seen
kids,
it. I don't see any of our normal folks that have seen it. What are the ages? Is it for, like, you know, like teen and up, or is it for young? Yeah.
Teen enough.
Okay.
PG.
Okay, yeah, PG rated. Okay.
PG, but there's plenty of content in it.
I have absolutely no idea because I have not yet seen the movie.
I would say teen enough.
Teen enough, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So that's this Thursday. Also, this week we've got Monday through Friday is our 5-day club here at the church. And so if you have any neighbors or friends or your kids from ages 5 to 12 that would like to come out here, it's being put on by our kids who went through the camp. And folks, it's all for free in Jesus' name. You just need to sign up. You'll need to see Miss Lisa. I think we've got, I don't know, like a dozen kids signed up already.
maybe more. But see her. We'd love to sign you up. But if you want to bring your neighbors, your kids, all that, we'd love to have you free of Jesus Day. Also, we're having a baptism. It's going to be on Sunday, July 30th after church. We've got now about 3 or 4 people that want to be baptized. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come here. We're going to meet that Sunday. You can come in your beach gear. Okay, now that please. I don't even need to say this, but let's just say, let's make sure it's appropriate beach wear. You know what I'm saying? So, yes. I won't even give you a visual of the joke. But anyway. So, Sunday, July 30th, after church, for those of you who have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to baptize, you want to save the world, and tell everybody, I want to serve Christ, I want to follow the Lord. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus. We'll be at Coquina Beach. We'll give you more information next week, but we want you to just kind of set that out. What we'll do is we'll have everybody come in here. We won't have a worship time that morning. We're just going to have like announcements in the Bible study. We're going to cut it short service, and then what we'll do is we'll all caravan out there to Coquina Beach. We'll have hot dogs out there. We've got some folks that are grilling out there. I think we've recruited Daryl and Joe. I'm not really sure. Hopefully we have.
Recruited?
Yes, recruited. We'll just put you in a hot grill in the hot sun at the beach.
It didn't feel like I was recruited.
So anyway, then we're going to do a really wonderful baptism out there. And so you guys are awesomely invited to that as well.
Just bring signs on
them. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, Gary, go ahead.
Nathan just said the church is going to do the hot dogs and drinks, and yes. We'll need, if you want to bring sides, we will not have electricity, so
okay.
You know, so not crock pots. So.
Okay.
Sides are dessert.
I've got
sides
are dessert. Yes.
Anybody interested in carpooling and anything?
If they are, see you.
Yeah. We can bring both of our vehicles, and I can put it. I know 6 in mine.
Okay.
And I can carry it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You said that was on the 30th, right?
That is on the 30th, correct.
Of July.
Yes, of this month. Also, in part, for equipping the saints, we keep running out of these. Every week I print more. And every week, if you miss Paul Cowley, and I hand them out, but we've got different folks coming from vacation, going on vacation, and so I keep handing out a slew of them, and then new folks show up, and other folks. So, Has anybody not received his teaching? I want everybody to hear that teaching. A missionary preaching the slums of Africa for many years. Everybody needs to hear this. So it's a free gift in Jesus' name.
I was here, but can I have my
name? No. Anybody else? Going once? Okay. Poor Ray. I think this is the third week. Ray, you. Okay. He keeps giving up. Okay, 2 more. Anybody else? Once. Everybody should listen to this message. 17 years preaching the slums of Africa.
You already have one, Dad.
You know what? I think I gave it away to someone in the church, so here, take one for us. Good. Okay, there's one left. I'll leave it up here if you want to. Oh, no, it's too late now. Thanks. You're welcome. Okay, what else we got going here? We got so much. Okay, I'm going to skip that, lower library, skip that, sermons online, skip that. Oh, I felt so bad. I missed prayer this morning. But it was so cool to see so many people praying this morning. I loved it when I walked in the door late, of course. It was awesome to see somebody praying. So if you want to come here Sunday mornings and pray, it says 9, but really it doesn't get started until about 9:15, 9:30. If you'd like to join us, we would love to have you. See Gary or Joel or Heidi. What else we got? There is no women's Bible study. They just finished the Breathe women's Bible study, so there's no women's Bible study this Tuesday. Last Tuesday was finished. There is no Wednesday youth group Bible study this Wednesday. The Transformers, right? Am I right?
Correct.
But, I didn't forget. This Friday and Saturday is the youth group lock-in. Okay, and I think they've got about, I don't know, a dozen, 10, 12 teens that are going to that. And so it's outdoor fun, board games, Bible teaching, cookout, sleepover, please don't burn down the property. Amanda, Pat, and Josh, and yes, for those of you who don't, the guys will be in one building sleeping, the girls will be in the other. If you want to come to this, please see Josh and Amanda. Would you raise your hands back there? Yep. Is there anything you want to say, even though we don't have a microphone, I don't know where the mic is. Is there anything you want to say, Josh, Amanda, Anna, anything you want to say?
Nothing particular, just, you know, get there between 6 and 6:30.
Sorry, I guess we can hear you.
Get there between 6 and 6:30. We'll have some food prepared, or you know, we might have pizza or something. And then in the morning, I think we're going to take them to breakfast, or I bring breakfast to them. Also, that did I turn this on?
Switch it.
Switch.
Wait, snap on, maybe.
Yeah.
Clap on.
There we go.
Clapper.
Check one. Check one.
There we go. Now we can hear you.
So starting in between 6 and 6:30 Friday, we're going to have a brief message. We're going to have board games. I think we're going to have a fire pit, movie, you know, Christian movie. Just a whole bunch of fun. The ages, I think, are going to be 12 up, you know, teens. Yeah. You know, as Pastor Aaron said, we're going to have them sleeping in separate areas. You know, the girls, I think, are going to be in the alcove and guys in here. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then in the morning, we're going to have something. We'll bring some breakfast in, or take the breakfast either way.
That'd be great. Okay, that sounds good. So get here at 6 o'clock on Friday. And Josh, obviously you've never done a locking because we put sleepover in there. So you're going to be unpleasantly surprised at the lack of sleep part when it comes to the teens. But
sleep.
Yeah. All right. So, what else is there? Thursday night barbecue and Bible study. Yep, you guys already know about that. Skip that. Skip, skip, skip. And now, what now?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Gary, you have something you want?
Men's Tuesday. Men's study Tuesday night. Yes.
Yes, we did the
women's
class.
Yeah.
What?
Yes,
the men's
study.
You guys both
gave
it up on me?
Yeah.
Is that this Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, so we're section 16, and we're going to be covering what to do when the whole world is against you and people are cursing your name.
Okay, so men's Bible study Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I was just making sure you guys are on the ball, paying attention. Billy, were you paying attention? See?
Okay.
All right, so be here, and there's food at 6 o'clock,
yes,
and that Bible study at 6:30.
Yes, sir.
All right, I was just making sure you guys were all paying attention.
And Glenn provided.
You guys are so judgy. Good, you do that, didn't you? We eat good. We eat good. We eat good. All right. Well, we have a wonderful baby dedication of little baby Jasper.
Woo-hoo!
The mascot. So why don't you guys come up?
Thanks. He's so adorable.
He's the most amazing, adorable, squeaky baby ever on the planet. This is his mate outfit.
Sweet.
Baby Jazz. No squeaks or nothing. And then when I start talking, I'm like, what a blessing you are. Yeah. Well, for those of you guys who don't know, we don't baptize infants here at this church because we don't see it anywhere in Scripture. We don't see anybody baptizing babies. However, we do that when we've made a profession of faith in our heart. We receive Christ Jesus in our heart. And so what we do is baby dedications. And you first see this in the book of Samuel when Hannah dedicated her baby to the Lord. And that baby became an amazing prophet. And so that's what we're praying for you, baby Jazz. But first, I want to say something to Mom and Dad, because this is super duper important. Because we're living in a time, and I'm kind of get this stuff out of the way here. I want to make sure everybody can see your beautiful, amazing faces. So never forget your family here to support you. Because we're living in a time where folks that are really living according to the Word are just almost out the window. Mm-hmm. And so God wants to train up you guys, and He is. I've watched you guys grow in the Lord, and it's been beautiful. It's been amazing. There we go. Oh, I said, you're kidding. But I've watched you guys grow, and I'm so very proud of you. And I just want to give you this command. And this is not really for me, this is from the Lord. And so this is what He says. So first, I want to talk to you guys, because this is kind of like your parental permission, and it's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is when God was talking to his people. And he says, this is what he wants you to do. He says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Then it says, after you put it in your heart, then it says you're to impress them on your children. You're to talk about them when you go, when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Basically, God's word, his heart, is supposed to be a part of every bit of your life. Because your main purpose, your goal, is to honor the Lord. Not to live for yourself, but to live for him and for others. And so that is for the commission for you. And you guys are doing that in increasing measure. God bless you. And so now we're going to take a minute, and we're going to take and we're going to pray for baby Jazz. Gary, do you have your oil? Put a little oil on your head. And that oil, for those of you who don't know, just represents the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And I'm also going to say, listen, guys. Anybody feels led to pray for baby Jazz? Okay? I'm going to ask if somebody's putting a word of the Lord on your heart. I just want you to speak it now for baby Jazz, and then I'll pray. Does anybody feel led to pray for baby Jazz?
He says he's
ready. What does he say? He's ready. Anybody feel led? Okay. You pray, and then I'll pray after you. Go ahead.
Yeah, baby Jazz. And we ask that you comfort him. We ask that you protect him. We ask that you come into his life and his heart, dwell in his heart forever. That he'll be loved, baby Jazz, and wanting to be part of our family as Christians. And Lord, please love him and keep him forever and ever.
Okay, my little speaker. He's just getting his lungs ready for all that preaching. Okay, I'm just going to put a little oil on your head. Again, that just represents the Holy Spirit. Just pop in here before it. I don't think your attention like this. Okay, watch this. I'll just anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the precious Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to pray for you, okay? Father God, I just thank you for baby Jazz. We all thank you. Right now, we're all just asking your blessing to be upon him and his life, that he would be a prophet to the people, Lord God. We ask in Jesus' name that you would keep him safe, Lord, that you would teach him your ways, that you would grant him a humble heart, Lord, that you would help him to know you personally, not because mom and dad know you, but that he would know you personally, how much you love him, Lord God, that he would learn to hear your voice, and he would learn to obey your commands, Lord God. We ask for this blessing. We ask for this anointing. We ask for this protection. And we ask for this family to come around baby Jazz and this family, Amanda, Pan, and Josh, and to bless and encourage them. And we ask for this family to do the same as you've done for so many years, just to bless this family, to encourage this family, to help equip this family for all that God has for them, Lord God, as they continue to grow. And so we pray this blessing on baby Jazz. In the name of the dedicated to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's give him a round of applause, shall we? Thanks, Grandpa. Boy, baby Jazz looks good. He's dressed for the occasion. You ready? I'm throwing oil to you. I know.
Okay.
Well, that was fun. How are you, Buster? Yeah, I just want to make sure you're awake. All right, so we have just finished up the book of Romans. We go book by book through the Bible so that folks know what it means in context. So we are doing the book of Jonah. I was praying and asking the Lord after a year and a third going through the book of Romans. I said, I've been praying for 3 months because I don't want to just go to another book or the next book. I want the Lord to lead us. And I said, Lord, what book do you want us to do? And I've been praying for like months. And he just kept saying Jonah. And I was like, just please, Lord, just make it a short book. Just a short book, Lord. And so he gave us the book of Jonah. Now, here's the kind of funny thing about Jonah. Just out of curiosity, show of hands right now. This is a neat opportunity for you. How many folks here have actually either read the book of Jonah from chapter 1, verse 1 to the end, or studied the book of Jonah all the way through? Raise your hands. Okay. All right, few again. All right. Now, I wasn't sure what to name this, the title of this. So first I thought Jonah, running from reality. For those of you who know the story, God had given him a mission, right? And Jonah, unfortunately, ran from the reality of what God said. He took off and he ran. And basically, he not just spiritually ran off, physically ran off. And that can be like us sometimes. God will give us a mission. God will give us something to do. He'll tell us to do something, and we don't want to hear it. We're just like this, la, 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 la. I can't hear you, God, la, 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 and we run the other way. So I thought about naming it that. Okay, this is the only time I've done this, so you guys are, this is what goes on in my head. So I actually named it three times. Then I changed it. Jonah, whale a tale of a tale, or God's truth prevailed. Now, I'll tell you why I did that. Okay, because here's the deal. Most Americans, even most professing Christians, think of Jonah as like a myth, a story, an allegory. Not something that actually happened in history. Not something that really happened in the Bible. It's just a cute, fancy story. All the kids know it, you know. So which is it? Is it a whale of a tale, or is it God's truth that we really see in the scriptures? And so, you know, right now, I took this, it just came out in 2017 this year, and this is where American stands. Very scary. This was the headlines. A record few Americans believe the Bible is the literal word of God. 24% believe that the Bible is literally the word of God nowadays. Is that not crazy? And when you talk about Jonah, that number 24% goes way down. Now look at this. For the first time ever since they've been taking, this is a Gallup poll. For the first time ever since they've been taking the polls, the number of folks in America who think that this is more fables or moral precepts made up by man has gone higher than the folks that actually believe it's the word of God. And the folks that think, oh yeah, it's the word of God, but you know, we don't need to take it literally. You know, yeah, it says run from sexual immorality, whatever. You know, it says do this, don't do that. We don't need to really listen to God. That's always stayed the same. But for the first time ever, the folks who believe the Bible is just like fairy tale land has crossed over when folks think it's the actual word of God. That scares the snot out of me. He should also scare the snot out of you. I don't know if that's right preacher talk, but that's real talk. It should scare the snot out of you. Because that's where we're going, and that's where we're at. This is 2017. And this is even Christians today. Scary. Scary. So I thought, well, there's so much history and archaeology. Oh, I can't wait to show it. We'll show you some of that. But I came up with the actual title being, for Jonah, Jonah, God's Redeeming Love. Because here's the real story. It's going to talk a lot about the great city of Nineveh. It's going to talk a lot about the great fish that swallowed Jonah. But really, it talks more about the great God that gave second and third chances to Jonah, who's a knucklehead. But so can we be a knucklehead, right? When God speaks to us sometimes, clearly he's speaking to us. And we run the other direction. Also, it shows his love for people, because the Ninevites, you're going to find out, were nasty people. I can't believe you're saying that as a pastor. They were nasty people. Brutal. Terrible people. But yet, God is saying, I love them and I want them to repent and turn from their sin and turn to me. Can I tell you something? As we're singing that song, God saved a wretch like me, my hand is up. You know why? You know when you were like in class and you're saying, pick me, that's me, that's me, pick me? All right. That song goes off. That's what I'm saying. Apart from the Lord, I'm a wretch. But yet he saved me. He transformed you. He made me something new. That's what our God does. This isn't a book of fairy tales. This isn't a book of moral precepts. This is the God of the universe, the supernatural God of the universe that will come inside your heart and life and change your thinking, change your direction, change your actions. It's a supernatural God that says, I want to redeem your sinful life and I want to put you on a path towards me. That's the God we serve. That's the God I serve. And God's saying, I want you to know me. I want the Ninevites to know me in that way. So that's what we mean. Jonah, God's redeeming love. Now, there's only 4 chapters, so some of you can be very happy about that.
Does that mean 8 months? I'm back.
Marcus, nice to have you back. As brutal as that was, it's awesome to have you back. So I'll love you. Although I'm rethinking that at this moment. Okay. So here we go. Here's the book of Jonah in a nutshell. Okay? This is the intro. Okay? Here we got chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Chapter 1 is basically Jonah running from God. And you see his first commission when God tells him to go to Nineveh and preach. And you're going to also see the results of his disobedience. In chapter 2, you're going to see Jonah running to God. You're going to see Jonah's prayer to God. After he's in the belly of the whale, he finally gives up, as sometimes we do when God brings in that discipline in our life. And you're going to see him communicating with the Lord. In chapter 3, you see Jonah running with God. You're going to see his second commission of Jonah. Go again. I'm telling you to go. And now you're going to see the results of his obedience as he goes. And then in chapter 4, you're going to see Jonah running against God. And you're going to see the prejudice of Jonah and how ungodly that is. And you're going to see lessons from the Lord that he's teaching him and he's teaching you and me. So finally, in a nutshell, chapter 1, you're going to see Jonah protesting. Chapter 2, you're going to see Jonah praying. Chapter 3, you're going to see Jonah preaching. And chapter 4, you're going to see Jonah pouting. The key theme for this is God's infinite mercy for all people. And our reluctance sometimes to share his love and mercy to others. You see Christ and Jonah all over the place. Jonah's 3 days in the fish is a picture of Christ's 3 days, death and resurrection. The Ninevite salvation represents the salvation available to all God's people if they would repent and turn to him. The author, we think, is the prophet Jonah, though it's written in the third person, so we're not sure. And it's written about 750... 793 B.C. in Israel and in Nineveh. And the 2 key verses is Jonah 2.9 and Jonah 4.11. And so basically, that's probably a bad slide. Jonah 4.11 says, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Shouldn't I feel compassion for such a great city? That's what God is saying to Jonah as he's pouting. He's like, I knew you were going to save them if they repented. And then also, Jonah 2.9. And it says, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will sacrifice to you. And what I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah 2.9. So let's open our Bibles. If you're not already there. And if you need a Bible, Chris, would you do me a favor? You deliver some Bibles. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. Because if you never go to a church where you don't have to open your Bibles, whether it's here or anywhere, that's when cults start. Be Bereans, look into the Word for yourself. Okay. So, hey, where's that microphone? Would somebody just raise your hand? I'm just going to have you start reading the book of Jonah. If not, I'll sit here. Somebody will raise their hand. Okay, Josh back there. All right. I think it's on, Josh. All right, I'm going to have you start just reading verse 1. You know how I get it. Yeah, ready whenever you are, Jeff.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.
Okay, that's good then. Okay, so first it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, listen, who is Jonah? Okay, those of you who don't know, and does the Bible even speak of him? I mean, other than this little book here that everybody knows about, you hear stories. And the answer is yes. The Bible does speak of him in both the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Jonah's name actually means, in Hebrew, dove, and it's a symbol for peace. And so Jonah's name means dove. And it's interesting that it says that he's the son of Amittai. Now, Amittai in Hebrew means truth. And that's interesting to me, because when I think about a dove, and I think about the peace of God, it's a picture, that dove is a picture of God's peace and His Holy Spirit. You remember when John the Baptist, John the Bee, was baptizing Jesus, right? Do you remember what happened?
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me.
The clouds opened up, the dove came down.
Yes.
And stayed on Jesus, and it said that whoever the dove stays upon is my son, listen and follow.
Yes. Yes, that's right. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, and God's the voice of heaven opened up, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And do you remember who sent the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is known as the Holy Spirit of truth in the Bible. Do you remember who sent the Holy Spirit?
Jesus.
Jesus. So it's interesting to me that the Son, right, that the Father of truth sends the Holy Spirit, sends the dove. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's another picture. Here we have Amittai, truth, sending the dove. And it's just another great picture of Christ. But when we see Jonah, when we look here in the Bible, and we say, you know, who is Jonah and does the Bible speak to him? The answer is absolutely. And this is kind of cool stuff, and I love this. First off, in 2 Kings 14, 23 and 25, Jonah was a prophet, is who he was. And he was a well-known prophet because his prophecies came true, okay? And it says, and this was in Israel during a time of Jeroboam II. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, the king of Judah, Jeroboam II, son of Jehash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. Now, verse 25 of 2 Kings 14 says this. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Labo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant, who? Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. So, this is a well-known guy. He is in the Bible. This is not just a myth, a story. This is recorded history back in the Bible, back in the book of Kings. But not only that, wait, there's more. I don't have this up on the screen. At least I don't think I do. So everybody hit the like, Chris. Everybody turn. If you take notes, you can write Luke 11, 29 to 32. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 41. Matthew chapter 12. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now you're going to see a lot of cool stuff about Jonah, about Nineveh. All these places they existed historically, archaeologically. You're going to see all these things. But that's not why I believe it. I believe it because God said it. And it's in His Word. That's my first go-to always. And so I want you to refer, sometimes people say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, it's just, you know, I don't believe in all that, you know, Genesis and Jonah and, you know, or I don't believe in the Old Testament. I just believe in the New Testament. I just believe in the words of Jesus. I don't believe in the words of Jesus. You can't pick and choose.
What was the verse that you said?
Matthew chapter 12. And that's going to be in verse 39 to 41. I'd like you to hand that microphone to somebody. Josh, you have it. Would somebody raise their hand? I'd like somebody to read that for me. Okay? All right. Anybody? Okay, over there. Just closer. Oh. Okay, good. So, and hopefully I have the right verses because I'm not turning there. So I'm trusting you. Matthew chapter 12, 39 to 41. And you're going to hear Jesus is speaking about Jonah in a historical fashion. Not the story of Jonah. He's like, this is like when Jonah, back, you remember? Listen to the words of Jesus Christ himself. Okay, would you read that?
But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment, and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here.
That tells me that Jonah was real. That tells me that Nineveh was real. That tells me that the people repented. That tells me that historically is correct. He's comparing, he's saying, this is the same thing. This is the example I'm going to give you. Jesus Christ himself spoke about that. You can't differentiate the two. Does that make sense? Now, if you want to know in verse 2, it says, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So there's a couple things that I want you to know. Nineveh is in, like, people like maps, some people going to know. And that's in modern-day Iraq, okay? In the city is the province of Nineveh, would be big. And this is Mosul, you know, like the second largest city in Iraq today, where all those battles are going on, right? Where ISIS took control for years, and they just took it back. You know what I'm talking about? That's the current news. Yeah. You guys are newsies like me. Okay, north of Baghdad, most of the people of Mosul have been there, consider themselves descendants of the Assyrians. And the capital was Nineveh of Assyria. And so they consider themselves Ninevites. Okay? Thanks, Christian. My old eyes can't read so well. Yes?
That isn't very good, because didn't God curse the Ninevites?
Well, you know, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's a few things about Nineveh that I just, you know, somebody asked me, was Nineveh a real city? You know, is there proof biblically? You see it in the Bible, other places. You see it archaeology-wise and historically. And so here's a couple things that I just wrote down in my own Bible. The answer, obviously, is yes, okay? Whether there was ruins or not, which of course there is, and I love it, so I'm going to show you. But Nineveh is called a great city. Depending on your translation, it's used about 9 times in the book of Jonah alone, calling it a great city. And again, depending on your translation. And it was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and it was probably the largest city in the entire world at that time. Okay, that's how big it was. Babylon was probably richer, but that was the largest city at the time. And it was the capital of Assyria. There was 120,000 people that lived in the inner cities, and it had 8 miles of beautiful walls around the city and lots of gates, okay? And around the outskirts of the city, there was as many as 600,000 people. Now, to give you an example of how big of a city that was, especially in that day, I just heard Detroit right now stands. Detroit and its surrounding city and area is at about 670,000. So think how big Nineveh was back then. If there's 120,000 living in the immediate city and 600,000 living outskirts, that's a huge city. It was actually 60 square miles, Nineveh and the surrounding area. That is huge. So this was like the biggest city on the planet. And as far as that, you know, some people say, man, I wish I could hear the word of the Lord, you know, and where God said to Jonah, go, and he commissioned him. I wish I had, God spoke to me that way. I wish God would give me a word from the Lord. Well, guess what? You got a word from the Lord. If you're a Christian, and you're a professing Christian in Jesus Christ, he's giving you the same commission. And he says, you, me, Darren, Jim, you're not done here yet. He says, Mary Kay, this is your mission. Not your job, not your family, not your work, not your retirement, not your hobbies. He says, I want you to go, just like he's telling Jonah, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think it's Augustine that says, you know, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. You know, so preach the gospel verbally, but also through our actions. And says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So you have that same commission. Nineveh, just so you know, was actually founded way back. It speaks about it. I'm trying to remember what verse I have here. This, I don't have it on here, but this is Genesis. Let me make sure. Hold on a second. Give me just a second. Genesis chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Okay? And it was actually founded by Nimrod. Well, he had that name. But anyway, at the time, that was a cool name. And he was a great hunter. And it says in those verses, since he was the greatest hunter in the world, he was actually a grandson of Noah who went astray.
Yeah.
And it says, since he was the greatest hunter in the world, his name became proverbial. People would say, this man is like Nimrod, the greatest hunter in the world. And he built his kingdom in the land of Babylonia, with the cities of Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh. From there, he expanded his territory to Assyria. Look at this. Building the cities of Nineveh and Rehoboth, Ur, and Calah. So he is the one that founded and started building the city of Nineveh himself. Now, for those of you who love archaeology, just so you know, just backs up the Bible, backs up the story of Jonah. Here is one of the gates. There was lots of gates to this great city, okay? This is what it looked like. Isn't that amazing? This gate to the city, you see some of the walls there. The unfortunate thing is, you know, ISIS, basically what they did was they were blowing up anything that, especially that referred back to the Christian Bible.
Yep.
So it's interesting to me, what they are doing is leveling. I mean, I watch videos of them destroying stuff. I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I was almost in tears. And I thought I knew what was going on. I didn't realize the extent. So here's the deal. They want to eradicate any proof that your Bible is true. Okay? So give me one second. Unfortunately, this is what the gate looks like today. By the way, that Mashke gate means the gate of God. And they destroyed it. Interesting, huh? But I just want you to know, these places are true. The Bible, archaeology, confirms it. Here's another, I think I got another one in here. This is a picture from National Geographic. This is another, this is the Adad Gate that was originally built around 700 BC. And it was reconstructed because it was, obviously you can see it was falling apart, so it would help it hold together. And unfortunately, this is amazing. These are some of the walls that you see, 8 miles of walls that surrounded the city of Nineveh. Okay? And isn't it amazing? I mean, this is proof positive of the Bible, right? The citizens surrounding the city of Mosul, they said, consider themselves descendants of the Assyrians who built Nineveh.
Wow.
Okay? And here is what it looks like. I don't know if you can see the earth mover right there. This is the wall. They're bulldozing it down. Okay, they're blowing it up. So I guess what I'm saying, too, is regardless of 20 years from now, I don't even know if people will remember this existed. But the Bible is true and proves itself true again and again. Look at this. This is, ISIS blew up, this is not anti-ISIS because, I'll tell you why I'm saying, but they destroyed Jonah's tomb. Okay, they had a tomb there. There was an Assyrian church, a Christian church there. The Muslims came in, they took over, they built a huge mosque on it. Okay, but this is what ISIS does. You can see this was CNN, Friday, July 2014. I want to show you a before and after picture and see, show you, it's pretty incredible. I actually watched the video, it was pretty sad. This is what it looked like. This is what it looked like after. And of course they did it to erase any. So now Jonah's tomb is no more. But on the positive side, from a historical, archaeological standpoint, you can see this stuff existed. Now, one of the reasons why it says, go against this great city of Nineveh and preach against it. And I think that's interesting. It says, preach against it because of the wickedness that's come up before me. He doesn't say this. Jonah, I want you to go and just tell them, just how much I love them. He didn't just say just that. He said, no, they're wicked people, and they're going the opposite way, and somebody's got to tell them the truth. And I want you to be that guy. And maybe you're that guy or that girl that God is calling you. You need to have that conversation with your friend that's going the wrong way or somebody who's doing some nasty. Somebody's got to bring in the truth to this person. And said, man, they are sin. The wages of sin is death. They need a Savior to cleanse them. I need a Savior. Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And God's saying, first, I'm telling you, you guys are wicked. You're going the wrong way. You're sinful. You need to repent and turn around. And they were so wicked, and they were so brutal, that Nahum even mentions it. Let's use this. This is from Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the book of Nahum is basically a prophecy against Nineveh, saying that there's come a time where the Lord is going to judge them. It says, woe to Nineveh, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, the jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears. Many casualties, piles of death, bodies without number, people stumbling over corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a prostitute, alluring the mistress of sorceries who enslaved nation by her prostitutions and people by her witchcraft. This is who God is saying, Jonah, I want you to go share my heart with them. I want them to turn and repent. Because I want them to repent. Because I love them. Yes?
It's like trying to tell, it's like God telling you to go preach to ISIS, to the heart of ISIS, and tell them to repent.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of how some of you started feeling when I was showing you those pictures of ISIS.
I hear what he said.
You start getting that hate, you know. Maybe you're starting to get angry, and you should get angry. But are you going to start drinking the haterade? You know what I'm saying? God said they'll know us by the love we have. Okay? Now, sometimes love means speaking the truth, right? And taking a stand. But it's all to bring them back to the Lord. So even ISIS needs to be repent and be brought to the Lord. Does that make sense? So think of somebody in your life who maybe God is... you can't stand, or maybe you hate, or a people group, or a thing, or whatever, you've got your prejudice against them, and God is saying, maybe you need to set that aside. I want you to go to them and tell them about me. Yes, Estelle.
I actually wonder if any ISIS have actually did repent.
Oh, you wonder if any ISIS, and I can tell you that absolutely 100%, yes. I've got actually confirmed stories. I've got a whole book on it. Handed off here about a year ago to folks, called Visions and Dreams. And Jesus is visiting a lot of folks in the Muslim world. And how many of those read Visions and Dreams? What would you say? Can I hear? So can you bring it over here to the microphone? I know I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't even plan for this. But God is saving Muslims all over the place. Would you mind, one of you two, just would you mind share what you thought about that book off the top of your head? And if anybody wants it, text me and I'll get you a copy free in Jesus' name.
It's an awesome book. Shows you the love of Jesus. There are times when we can't reach the Muslim world by going, but Jesus can give him dreams, and he could use his people to lead these people to Christ. It's an amazing book. I couldn't put it down at the start.
So absolutely. No heart. You know, there are people that looked at me and said, "Oh, Darren, we know he's not saved." And I don't blame them. Maybe they looked at you the same way. You know, maybe not. But they did me. This is going to be PG, but this is, I just want to show you how brutal these were. And I want to explain why Jonah didn't want to go there. And why he had reason to be angry at them. They were a brutal people. This is from an archaeological discovery in the ruins of Assyria. And it reveals the Assyrian king blinding a captive king while holding his head still with the hooks in his lips. And the other kings are waiting for the same fates with brides in their noses. They used to put a hook in their nose. You can lead anybody with their nose. Pow, pow. That's what the enemy always does. They were a brutal, terrible people. This is depicting Assyrians, okay? Counting the number of heads of the enemy slain in battle, bringing them to the officer in charge. And that was common among the Assyrian people. And a guy by the name of Austin Laird found in the ruins of Nineveh stuff that confirmed this. What they would do is they would pile up the heads. This is how brutal they were. Pile up the heads of the bodies outside the gates of the city. Oh, you got lucid dreams. Okay. They would pile up the skulls outside, high, and then like mortar them together to let anybody know that they're in charge, that they rule. I mean, that's kind of a fearful, dreadful people they were. Scary. They deposit them in heaps at the gate. This is kind of terrible stuff. This is Assyrians flaying their prisoners alive. What does that mean? Skinning them alive, and they would hang the skins outside the gates of their city. I know it's rough, but that's what they do. This is from Sennacherib's palace in Nineveh, where they would impale folks on spikes, put them outside the city so that everyone would fear them. They were a terrible, brutal people. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go. You know what he is. But when God says go, and when God tells us to do something in his word, we can't pick and choose. Do you know what I'm saying, you guys? The Bible isn't like your trip to a McDonald's drive-thru. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you can't say, I like this command. I don't like this one. I like when God says this. I don't like that. I like a large order of fries. I like a large promise here. Hold the pickles on this. Hold the promise here. We can't pick and choose. God says, he who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Anybody can say they're a Christian, right? But a real Christian is going to be one. Sometimes they might go the wrong direction, right? Screw up, haven't we all? Isn't that true? But their heart is going to be, how can I obey you, Lord? That's showing that you love God. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he says, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? It says in verse 3. So can somebody read that? I don't know if that's the map, but I guess I'm only going to go up through verse 3 because obviously it's. Okay, would you read verse 3?
Instead, Jonah ran from the Lord. He went to the seaport of Joppa and brought a ticket on a ship that was going to Spain. Then he got on the ship and sailed away to escape.
So, I want to give you a visual of what that's like. Okay, so here's Joppa, and you remember, you'll see Joppa later when Peter, remember when Cornelius, the centurion, sent the Gentiles? God told him, I want you to send for Peter, and Peter was up praying on his roof, and he came down, and he went with him, and God ended up saving the Gentiles, and that was in Joppa. But anyway, so this is where he's at, and it's basically 550 miles to go to Nineveh. Okay, right there. All right? So instead of doing what God says, Jonah's like, okay, you want me to go tell these brutal people? You want me to tell them? No way. I have seen what they've done to your people. They don't deserve your love. Listen, if you've been a Christian for a long time, and you know God's love, and you know God's commands, and maybe you're obeying it, you can become a little snotty.
You sure can.
And a little religious. And you can kind of look your nose down at other people, because now you're living the right way. And you're looking all righteous, right? And you're walking all righteous. But the only reason you're doing that is because of Christ living inside you, changing your heart. That's the only reason. But that's what Jonah's doing. Look what he does. He's going in the opposite direction, 2,500 miles away. Is that not hilarious? I guess it's kind of hilarious but from a standpoint, but it's also really sad. You know, God's going to get his purposes accomplished one way or the other. I just want to tell you two quick stories, and how can I want to get some of
we got time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Give
me 1 second here. My old eyes. Yeah, I guess we'll just, I don't even have time to finish the verse. But anyway, it does say that, you know what, when Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish, he went down to Joppa. You're going to see, when you start running from the Lord or not listening to his word, it says that he went down to Joppa. Then later he's going to get on that ship and he goes down into the belly of the ship. And then he's going to lay down and fall asleep. And then he's going to go down into the belly of the whale. When you start going the wrong way, you start going down. Now, I'm wondering if he went to Joppa and said, hey, look at that. There's a ship for me going the opposite way. Oh, it must be the Lord saying it's okay. I have just enough money to sail the opposite direction. We can't just go on circumstances. We have to see, what does God say to us personally? What does he say in his word? And it says this, and it says after paying the fare, he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And when you choose to disobey God, you're going to pay a fare. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't tell you the number of people I talk to every single week, and I almost, apart from the Lord, that would be depressing. Because here's what they'll say. I'll tell them what the word says, and they'll say, oh, I know, Pastor Darren, but. Oh, I hate buts. And you're going to see, what's the first word in verse 3? But Jonah. But. There's always going to be a but in your life. You got a big but. There shouldn't be those buts with God. And you're going to pay a fare. You're going to pay the piper. I can't tell you the number of people who have said, you don't understand, Pastor Darren, but it's all going so... just the circumstances just worked out. And now we're this, and now we're that, and now I'm this, and now I'm that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you just don't understand. You're going to have to pay the fare. The Bible puts it another way in the New Testament. In Galatians 6:7, he says, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. You can't profess Christ and say, oh, you're my Lord, I'm just going to live away however I want. I'm not going to listen to you. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. You can't do what you want to do and go with God and do what he wants to do at the same time. If you sow to your flesh and plant those things that are fleshly in your life and not godly, that's what's going to grow. If I plant an orange tree, I'm not going to think, well, maybe God will just make a tomato tree because I like tomatoes. What's going to grow if I plant the orange tree? Oranges. You reap what you sow. Yeah, Jojo?
No, sorry, I was just...
Okay. it says, those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In other words, you start planting seeds of spiritual things, obeying the Lord, being faithful to Him and His Word, and God will start producing those good things in your life that will lead to eternal life. You're going to reap what you sow. A lot of people get mad at God afterwards, like it's His fault. You made the bad decision, and somehow they yell at God. No, you reap what you sow. You sow to your fleshly, sinful nature, that's what you're going to get. You want to talk yourself into stuff, God will let you do it. But you're going to reap the consequences in due time. God says, I want you to reap things so to the spiritual side, so that you can gain that. And if your flesh is winning out over your spirit right now, in your walk with Jesus, your flesh just seems to be winning over the spiritual side, stop feeding your flesh. If I had two dogs here, I'm going to say one white dog, one black dog, could be brown, red, whatever. And I feed the one dog, right? Lots of food. That dog's going to grow. We have puppies. We do puppies. You feed the puppies. They grow. Mm-hmm. They're fat little puppies mm-hmm. with lots of food. But they grow very big. Now, if we didn't feed the puppies, which we don't do, so don't call that. If we don't feed that puppy's going to be, it's going to eventually what? Okay, maybe I shouldn't say puppy, because but what we're saying is, if you feed the things of the Spirit, that's going to grow in your life. If you feed the things of the flesh, that's going to grow in your life. One's going to live, and one's going to die. It's your choice. You cannot serve two masters, right? You're going to end up loving the one, hating the other. Which one will you choose? Okay, I just want to let you know, it's kind of funny. My goal was to go through the entire book of chapter 1 of Jonah today. So yeah. We did go three verses.
I think Mr. Mark is pretty accurate.
Yes, well, don't let him hear you say that. All right. Yes, and if you wonder why he left, they both told me he's recovering from heart surgery. So he said, if I have to leave early, it's all I can take. One of a year. It's okay. So let's take a minute and let's pray. Okay? And then we'll look forward to this great book and whatever God has to teach us through it, okay? Father, we just want to say thank you for each and every person that's here and every person that's not here today, Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would give them a heart of obedience that wants to run to you when you call, not away from you. Help each one of us to make the choices in our lives to feed the Spirit and not our flesh, Lord God. Lord, help us to run to you when you call, and not away from you, Lord. Help us to trust you in all things, Lord God. We pray your blessing on your people, Lord God, each one of us here today, and on the Thursday night, Case for Christ outreach, and then also the five-day club. Pray for your blessing to be upon that as well, Lord, that you would have kids coming to Christ. For those getting baptized, those three or four people getting baptized, Lord, man, I thank you for that. I ask that you would bless them. Maybe you would give, even prepare hearts. Somebody would have a word of prophecy over them, Lord, as they're getting baptized. That you would give a word of prophecy over them, Lord God. Or you would give them a gift of your Holy Spirit supernaturally, Lord God. We ask that you would do that. We pray, baby Jack, Lord, a blessing on that baby's life. To love and serve you with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And his parents as well. That they would never, ever look back. We love you, and we ask your blessing over this beautiful congregation and the people here today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget Tuesday, next night, Friday, Thursday, Case for Christ.